that are joining us. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. You know, this is a little series. I thought it was going to be a tiny series, and it's growing. And this is part four of Know His Ways, how to do. Know His Ways. And I'm just going to announce it ahead of time. It'll be a part five.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so just rest and be at peace, because I'm going to enjoy myself in the Lord today. You know, you already know, and for those of you joining in, I don't preach polished sermons, but one of the themes in my heart that I believe the Lord put there is that, you know what, it's really important that I communicate with you what the Lord's doing in me, or what the Lord's saying in me, or what the Lord's done in my life. And sometimes sermons of the brain reach brains, and that's okay, but sermons of the heart touch hearts. Sermons of the life touch lives. And so, you know, I'm just saying it's real important for us not to just read the word, but to hear what the Lord's saying to you in the now with the word, because he's a right now Jesus. And that's very important for our focus to be on him. Now, so welcome to Know His Ways part four. And let's see how fast you listen. Okay. You know, it's kind of a funny. But I'm going to cover as much ground as I can. More than anything else, we want you to see Jesus today. Yes, yes. And you've learned by now to look past me and see him. And, you know, we've told folk, when you leave here and go out, go talk about Jesus. Go talk about how Jesus loves people in the church, in the body. And let go brag on Jesus. Don't go brag on the man. It's not the man, it's the message. And it's Jesus. And, you know, I'll just remind you that we had a lady from way down south of Texas that was listening on the podcast. She wasn't watching. She was listening on podcast. And she decided that, you know what, I'm going to go be there live. And she drove hours to get here. And she got here. It was a Sunday morning. She got here. And she walked in and I preached. And after she was waiting to meet with me, and she met with me, and she said, I just got to be honest with you. You don't look like you sound. So, the reason I'm telling you that, don't go brag on the preacher. Go brag on Jesus. Okay? And it's all about him. You don't see my picture up anywhere. I told someone the other day, you know, I've been on TV a little bit in the past, but I don't have a TV face. I got a radio face, a radio body. And I even had a little trouble on radio because it's so fast, you know. I paused on radio, and during the little break, they said, Pastor, you can't pause like that. We're on live. Okay, I'll do better. But listen, you understand it's about Jesus. Let's keep it about Jesus, and let's brag on Jesus. This series is to how to know his ways. There's a lot of people that say they know God or know about God. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing him. And there's a lot of people that know about the Lord and say that they know the Lord. But I want to tell you, Moses knew his ways. The great thing about the crucifixion, resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, is that he has worked it out where all of us can know his ways. And he even told his disciples, that, you know what, it's given to you to know the mysteries. And so it aggravates me. I'm trying to talk real nice. It aggravates me when people say, well, God works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. You have a mystery because you don't know him very well. Because I want to tell you, he wants you to know him well. He wants you to know him better and better and better and better, to experience and know his love deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Are you with me, saints? And so we can know his ways. We have a personal life coach, Holy Spirit, right here. That referee, Holy Spirit, and he will guide you. See, that's part of his job, is to teach you and guide you in the steps of applying his word and who he is into your daily life in the now. Amen? And so that's why we're calling in this series is to learn how to flip the switch. This is a lot of fun. Some of you need to come up here afterwards, and you need to flip the switch of faith for what you're believing for. And so I'm telling you, we want to learn how to flip the switch, okay? And I've already preached on that. I can't go back there. I like that illustration, though, but I can't go back there. You may see it a time or two again. Now, this is out of Zechariah. And I'm telling you, the Lord has ministered so much to me about this, I'm going to do my best to communicate it. But there's a reason why this is important to me, because I named my firstborn son after Zechariah. And Zechariah means God hath remembered. And I want you to know, God's got you in mind. He remembers. I want to tell you what he's wanting. He's wanting you to remember. He's wanting you to remember him. And so it's so important. He warns his people, do not forget me. In troubles, don't forget me. Remember me. I'm a very present help. He also said in times of blessing. See, it don't matter about the outside. In times of blessing, don't forget me. Remember me. Because it's possible to get your hands full of blessings and miss them. Okay, so it's very, very important. And so I just love Zechariah. You know, he was like the disciples. You know, I'm really convinced that all the disciples started out as teenagers except for Peter. And, you know, Zechariah, most likely, according to Bible experts, was a teenager when he started ministering. Okay, so let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise your age, your elderlyship. Okay, because God's not finished. Okay, and I want to tell you something about Zechariah, the Lord hath remembered. His message goes like this, and this is the little gift of simplicity. I'm combining it all in just a couple of statements. But it was very important to Zechariah, he'd tell the people, hear God. Hear God. Next, do what he says. Now boy, I'm telling you, that sums up a lot of Jesus' life right there. Because believers need to hear God and do what he says. And he explains that you do what he says, not out of law, not out of legalism. Zechariah goes here because fasting came up, and he said, you don't fast because of fasting. You don't fast because of a rule. He said, that's worthless. He says, you do it out of a vital relationship with God. And so he's saying your obedience needs to be based out of your vital relationship with God. Is that beautiful? And so I'm telling you, we do what we do, not in order to get. We do what we do because we've been loved. And we're loving as we're doing. There's a big difference in that. Okay? And there's church life sometimes get all twisted up about that. And so he says, hear God, have that vital relationship with God, obey God, do what God says, and do not reject him. When you reject him, you bring judgment on yourself. Now, you know, we can explain that in a number of ways, even in this great season of grace. Because when you reject God, you're saying no to God. Blessings are coming. Favor's coming. Designed purpose is coming from God. But because we're saying no to God, we're saying, I reject it. Now, when you say no to God, I want to tell you what that does. That hardens your heart. That hardens your heart. And I want to tell you, you can grow. Your heart can grow harder and harder and harder. That's not God. That's not God's will. That's not God's purpose. That's not God's design. Okay? He wants your heart to be turned toward him. The more you keep your heart turned toward God, listen to me, the tenderer your heart becomes. And I want to tell you, it's easier to hear him. That love life is flowing. He wants to be fresh in your life. And I want to tell you, it's just beautiful that, you know, he encourages us, choose life. Okay? The Bible says, yet have you hindered the Holy One of Israel. So is it possible to hinder God? Now, what usually happens when people say no to God and hinder God, they usually blame God. And that's spiritual. Well, that's how deception comes. Okay, now. This is part of what happened with Zechariah. He had night visions. And this was his message also to the people because they were rebuilding. And he encouraged them in restoration of the temple. He was encouraging them. And they had very physical challengers challenge them and even sent back to the king. And so there was resistance when they were going about resisting God. Duh. Do not be shocked when you're following the Lord and there's resistance. As a matter of fact, we live on a battlefield. Now, you are supposed to have heaven in your heart. Hallelujah. and we're trying to teach you how to walk in that by knowing His ways. But I want to tell you, we live on a battlefield, and you know what? You need to understand that when you step out for God, there's going to be resistance. Now, they were seeing very physical resistance. But understand, when you see physical resistance, there's a spiritual resistor behind the human resistance. And so it's not just physical. I know sometimes we kind of enjoy putting a name and a face to it. But my friend, it's deeper than that. There's a spiritual world, and that's where that junk comes from. And so the best way, according to the New Testament, for us to battle even the physical oppositions, because there's a spiritual opposition behind it, is to practice our spiritual weapons and keep our focus on Jesus and walk in the love lane, practice our weapons that are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, and walk in the victory from the spiritual to the physical. From the invisible to the visible. Can somebody say amen? That's why we need to know about the ways of God. And so he's relating to them that God has a plan. And he is their provider. And he has promised finish to the battle or to the project. Isn't that great for you to know? That God's promised a finish to your battle or to your project that the Lord's working on. And you know what that finish is victory. And so can I say to you that he gave them, and we're fixing to look at it, he gave, through the night visions, through Zechariah, he gave the leadership and the people a picture of what victory looks like. Now see, that's what we talk about in the ways of God, that he wants to give you hope. And hope comes before faith is kicked in. And so we receive hope. It's that expectation of God's goodness in your life. And you need to be with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, enjoy the Lord, meditate on His Word, on Him in the Word. That's a very important statement. I don't have time to explain right now. But I want to tell you what happens is that the Holy Spirit will paint a picture of what your victory looks like on that big screen of your heart. You've got to have that. And you can't get that from another man. They can give you their picture of victory. But I want to tell you, God didn't make copycats. I want to tell you, you're an original. And even though these principles of knowing God's ways are the same for all of us, He will apply it in a very personal way for you. And so this is why that you need to receive from Him. Do you know what God's picture of victory looks like in your life? Well, the Holy Spirit wants to paint that on your heart so you can agree it. So you can see it, so you can speak it, so you can meditate on it, so you can renew this computer up here with that picture and not the old screen. Amen. All right. I hope you're with me because I got to move on. Are you with me on that? Well, the series could get a little longer if you don't say amen every now and then. Okay. And so let me just say what this picture, and I'm not stretching it by painting a picture out of the Old Testament to where we are. Because 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, okay, Paul said that the Old Testament is given to us as examples, say the word pictures. Pictures. Pictures of what He is to us and what we are in Him. And so it's very, very important for us to see the pictures. And that's what the Old Testament, don't get caught up and all the tiny details. There's some people get swamped by that. But I want to tell you, it's important when you, even in the Old Testament, that you look to see Jesus. You focus on Jesus in the Word. When you focus on Jesus in the Word, and we just teach people, it's like this little, well, we've taught teenagers for years, that when you're in the Word, you don't just read it factually like an encyclopedia, even though there's history in it. You want to see His story in this. And so when you're in the Word, see, you focus on Jesus in the Word. What is He saying? Plus, what is He doing? And you meditate on that. You chew on it. You meditate on it. You squeeze all the juice out of that. You ask the Holy Spirit, show you Jesus in the Word. He wants to reveal Jesus to you. And so when you're focused on what He says and what He does, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Equals who He is. He shows you who He is. And who He is in here in the Word is who He is in here. Now, I want to tell you, that brings revelation. And it's important for you to speak it. I've got it here somewhere. It may be next week, so you may hear it again. Probably worth saying twice. But when you are meditating on the Lord, He begins to show you that picture, and He gives you the word of victory. We call it in Scripture the word of faith, because the word of faith is always spoken before God does it. And so He gives you that word, or He gives you that picture of victory. And you start and you start to express it. It's almost like all the pieces of the puzzle are not there, but you're to share what you got. And it's important for you to express it. And I'm going to tell you why. It's a principle in Scripture. It goes like this: when you give expression to your impression, that's when you get more revelation. I know it doesn't rhyme quite right, but it's good practice. Give expression to your impression, and you get more revelation. Okay? He wants to reveal Himself to you. And so this is very, very important. All right, you ready for some word now? Zechariah 4, 6 and 7. And this is the angel of the Lord. Who's the angel of the Lord? Jesus. Thank you for saying that. Now, not every single time can we pinpoint that in Scripture. But a lot of times when you see the angel of the word, angel of the Lord, it's talking about Jesus manifesting in the Old Testament. Okay, so here it is. Zechariah is having these night visions, these dreams. He's getting messages of encouragement to the people. Let this be an encouragement to you. And he said to me, Jesus said to Zechariah, this addition of the bowl, now this is in Amplified, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees. Now this is the word of the Lord to the leadership of that day. And so it's important that leadership hears God. Okay. I meet with some pastors and they admit to me, and it's all right, we practice openness. You know, I don't name names and all that kind of stuff. Some pastors will admit to me that they're not in the Word every day. I don't understand that. And I was in one church and they just absolutely told me, well, that's not his gifting. I said, what? What do you mean it's not his gifting? I said, every pastor, even if he's the pastor of trash cans, he needs to be in the Word of God. He needs to be listening and meditating on the Lord. Man, meditating, we're teaching you how to meditate on the Lord. That's a missing link in Christianity, but I want to tell you that's important. And the enemy didn't invent it, God did. And so it's very, very important, but I want to tell you, I told him, I said, every pastor needs to be in the Word. I said, it's not about gifting. And I said, wait, let's back up the truck. Every believer needs to be in the Word of God. That's how the Holy Spirit takes this divine seed and plants it in our heart and how it begins to grow. And I'm just going to hurry up and say this because it's coming a little bit later, but you'll know when to say amen, is that what you think on is where you're going. You will go in the direction of your dominant thought. And so that's why that we've got to meditate on Jesus and have Jesus in the center. Somebody say amen. All right, so here we go. And so get this now. I know I'm talking to Texans. And so I got a little Texan language to this. And you may be from other parts of the nation, other parts of the world. But listen to this Texan language. It might work for you. When we think about this ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, I just want you to see a big tank of oil. And there's divine plumbing. I want to tell you, it talks about divine plumbing in this. I don't have time to go into it. Divine plumbing, and the divine plumbing is connected to these two trees, these two olive trees. And so that I want you to have the picture. And it's a ceaseless supply of oil coming from the olive trees. Anybody know what oil represents? Yes, you do. That represents the Holy Spirit. And so I want to tell you there's a ceaseless supply. Somebody say ceaseless supply. Unlimited supply. That's the Holy Spirit in your life. From these olive trees. And this is what he's saying, and he's saying it to leadership, and what's good for leadership is good for everybody. And I'm not going to say it exactly like it is in Scripture, because there's people that heard that all their life and still don't know what it means. I'm going to make it a little bit personal. And it goes like this. My work, the work of the Lord, will not be done by your might, will not be done by your strength, will not be done by your great gifting or your great brains or your great bank account. Do I have everybody's attention? It will not be by your power or your strength. It will simply and truly be by my Spirit. Because He wants to receive all the honor and glory. I promise you, because I've been in churches, preached in churches, I've explained to you where it happens. But if a church can make it happen without God, they're going to brag on themselves. What are you believing for? I want to tell you, God wants to give you something so big to believe for. He wants to show you His divine plan. It's a big plan and a great plan that's way beyond you. He wants to show you destiny in your life that is something that is impossible for you to accomplish by yourself. That's part of how you know it's God. Because He's the God of the impossible. He's the all-possible God that absolutely laughs at the impossible. And He wants to do that in your life. This is what the Lord says. Now look at this. Who are you, O great mountain? Now I've already told you that these mountains a lot of times have human faces, human groups, human sayings. And this is what He's saying. I'm going to put it in a little Texas term here. Who do you think you are, mountain? Who do you think you are, big boy? Okay, now I don't know what the name of your mountain is. It's different mountains for different people that are listening, that are in this building. The name of your mountain may be sickness. God's not intimidated by that. It may look like a big mountain. The doctors may have told you it's an impossible mountain. God loves the impossible. And so that what the world calls is a big mountain, we're fixing to see how God sees it. Hey, it may be financial. Your mountain may be financial. It looks impossible. Then I want to tell you something. God is the, remember the big tank? The big tank of oil? Remember the ceaseless supply? He's unlimited. He's unlimited. He's unlimited. And so no matter how big you're in debt, He's unlimited. It may be a relationship that looks impossible. Okay, I want to tell you, He's the God of the impossible. He's the God of the all possible. He loves to make it happen, and He'll get honor and glory for it. It won't be a counselor somewhere. It'll be Jesus. You may have been hurt real bad. You may have anger. You may have a secret life. You know, we deal with all kinds of stuff, but you know what the Lord does. But I want to tell you, He's victory over it all. Who are you? Who do you think you are, mountain? God is announcing. Jesus is telling him, you shall become a plain, a mere molehill. Now, I don't know if you know what a molehill is. I think Pastor Don does. I've seen him on the ranch out there where he's at. But I want to tell you the history here a little bit. The reason it's called a molehill, because in that day, the little kids loved to run and step on the molehills and mash them down. It was a game to them. Whenever they saw a molehill, they'd get excited. Oh, I want that one. I want that one. And they'd go along there and step on it. And I want to tell you, that's a good picture. Because of Jesus, because of the cross, the resurrection, He's put all things under our feet. And I want to tell you, whatever that mountain is called, no matter how big the world describes it, no matter how it may look in your physical eyes, I want to tell you what God says. God says, I call it a molehill. And a molehill is something the little kids come and stomp on because it represents the enemy coming against your life to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to tell you something. I love to minister to soldiers. And one of the things that they tell me about another part of the world is that when somebody over there wants to tell them where to go or how to get there, they don't use hand signals. Oh, come on. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Over in this part of the world, you probably use a hand signal. What they do is they'll show the bottom of their shoe. They'll point the bottom of their shoe at you. And when they do that, they're telling you where to go and how to get there. Now, I want to tell you, from that part of the world, the teaching is, Jesus has put all things under our feet. And so I want to tell you what all that is. That big mountain, no matter what it's called, is for you to stomp on. Through Jesus, by Jesus, to stomp on it. And I want to tell you, you want to send a message to the enemy? Write it on the bottom of your shoe. And what do you say? Well, He tells us what to say. He says, it's going to become a plain. It's going to become a molehill. and you're going to see. And see, he draws them a picture. He paints a picture. He gives them a picture of victory. What does your victory a picture look like? He gives them a picture of the finishing gable stone being put in place and the loud shoutings of the people, and they're crying, grace, grace, crying grace to it. Now, I want to tell you, when you call out grace, you're saying it's all God, not me. You're giving him honor and glory. You're esteeming the Lord, and you're disesteeming the mountain or the project or the giant that's in your life, whatever it is. And so I want to tell you, you know what our report is? Are you going to follow the report of the Lord? Or are you going to give what the men are reporting? Or what the enemy is reporting? What's your report? Who are you going to line up with? I want to tell you, you call out to it, grace! Well, we're probably going to do that in a little bit. I want to show you, you want to see just a little bit more from Zechariah? Verse 3 says this, you know, there's the two olive trees by it. And upon the right side of the bowl and the other side, or the left side of it, there's olive trees on each side of the bowl. That divine oil, that supernatural, beautiful golden oil is coming from the olive trees into that big bowl, that big tank. See the big tank? And the olive trees, talking in Texas language, what we used to call oil derricks. I don't know what they called them, the West Texas country boys. I don't know what they called them. What did they call them? I've heard them called pump jocks, oil horses, but you know it's the oil wells that's continually pumping. Now I want to tell you, those two oil wells, those two olive trees, I'm calling the Word and the Spirit, because that's the combination that God uses, His Word and His Spirit. And I ministered to a pastor just a few days ago. And you know what? He was working. Well, I want to know what the balance is. He said, because some of our people are so Spirit-filled, they're Bible short. And some of our people are so Bible long, and then they're so dry, they're Spirit short. And I just told him, you make Jesus the center. When you make Jesus the center, he'll get you there. Okay? Either way, it can be a ditch on either side. A ditch on either side, still a ditch. It's an open grave. But I want to tell you, you put Jesus in the center, he brings life and he brings balance. Somebody say amen. That's not only true for a pastor in a church, it's true for you. And so this is why it's so important. But this is the picture. I want you to see this. And there's a continual flow from each side into that big tank. Continuous oil. More than enough oil. And this is why it's so important. And we do talk about this, that do not despise small things. You say, or small beginnings or small things. You say, well, I don't see the result of the picture, the victory picture yet. Do you know what? It can be step by step, day by day and step by step. And so you don't despise small beginnings and you don't despise small progress. We celebrate progress. You know what it means? God's at work. And it means you're on the right track. And our part's to keep on keeping on. You let God be in charge of the calendar. Somebody say amen. And so he brings back up in verse 12. Zechariah asks the Lord, well, a second time I said to him, wait, I see on these two olive trees going to the tank, I see branches. And he said, what are the branches? And so you just picture the plumbing now. There's the golden tubes and spouts, which the golden oil is being emptied out, but they're coming through branches. And he doesn't understand that. And I want to tell you what's revealed just a little bit later in the chapter, that the branches of the continual flow from those oil pumps, those olive trees, going into that super tanker, it comes through the branches. It goes through the plumbing called branches, and he reveals what the branches are. They're men. They're leadership. They're humans. Now, I want to tell you, God's big enough to do it without you. But you know what he has said from the very start? Why Adam and Eve were even created? He wants to do it with you. He wants to do what he wants to do through you. He wants interaction. He wants cooperation. He wants fellowship. He wants family. He wants son and daughters. Someone told me not too long ago, well, I'm a disciple. Well, that's okay. A disciple means a follower, a learner. That's okay. But you know what? God has something higher for you than that. There's nothing higher than a disciple. I said, oh, yeah, it's a son and daughter. Yeah, it's sonship. It's daughtership. It's family. And you got to see yourself there. That's where God wants to bring you. Let's be honest, there's disciples of all kind of stuff out there. And following all kind of stuff. But to be a son and daughter of the living God, I want to tell you, you can still follow, right? Oh, glory to God. Okay, and so what are these? Now, I want to tell you, he just told them, these are humans, these are people. Now, see, that reminds me, and the reason it just touched me so much this week is because remember what Jesus said. He said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. And so what we're talking about here is the same thing. This is the picture of the reality. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the reality for us today. There's a continual overflow of the oil of God flowing in your life, and he wants to flow through your life. It's too much. He's the more than enough supply for whatever mountain you're facing, whatever giant you're facing, whatever valley, whatever it is you're facing. He's the more than enough supply. Somebody say he's the great I am. He wants us to know that. Now, you remember we talked about Gideon in one of these sermonettes. Well, one of these sermons. Okay, we talked about Gideon. And I just wanted to remind you that he didn't use a physical sword. I'm telling you, had 300, the real 300. And I want to tell you, they were gathered around, and they had an earthen jar and a fire in one and had a trumpet in the other. There was not another hand to carry a sword, and they didn't have them anyway. But I want to tell you, they did use a sword. It was the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. And so they shouted and decreed and declared what God said. And when they shouted what God said, when they shouted the victory report before the battle even began, God did it. Somebody shout grace to that. Because that was grace. That was God. And thank God that we get to get in on what God's doing. What a privilege, what an honor this is. This is what God's got in. I'm telling you, this is how we flip the switch, okay, is by seeing what God wants to do and decreeing what he wants to do before he does it. Gideon didn't use that physical sword. And so this is important. See, these are the ways of God that we've talked about. It's important to hear Jesus. Hear the words of Jesus and embrace those words with your heart. You can't just let them go in one ear and out the other. You can't just give a mental acknowledgement of it. You got to embrace it. You got to take it in. You got to digest it. You got to make it a part of you. You got to let it be you. You got to give allegiance to it. Do you understand allegiance? You got to give allegiance to it. And so you hear the words of Jesus, embrace it in your heart. And you stay there, you saturate. Oh, somebody say saturate. You see, you can't just hear it and say amen and go on your way. You got to embrace it. You got to focus on it. You got to live it. You got to swim in it. It's not enough to come to Camp Hallsville and get around our concrete pond out there and dip your little toes in it. That's not enough. There's some Christians say, well, I did it. I touched the water. I went swimming. No. I'm telling you, you need to line up like some of our teens do and just start out with a diving board and just submerge yourself. That's what we need with the water of the Word. There's got to be more to it than just looking at it and waving at it like a drive-by. We got to embrace it, make it a part of us. Okay, so here we go. You got to see it. You stay in it till you see it. We tell people, seek Jesus till you see him. Seek him. Keep on seeking. There's people that just take a swing at it and say, it didn't work for me. No. I'm telling you, hey, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for direction of your heart. Keep your heart directed toward him. Keep seeking. Keep asking, seeking, and knocking until the door's open. Seek until you see him. Ask until you receive. And I want to tell you, he loves to reveal himself to you. And so there's that inside yes that you speak, and it's called muttering. That's meditation. You mutter it. You say it on the inside, and you're speaking it on the inside. And then there's an outside yes to the Lord, an inside yes and an outside yes. And the next step, it goes kind of like this. You got to apply it. You got to act it out. You got to speak it out and you got to act it out. It's got to be applied. You know, it's the truth applied that sets you free. Just having it between your ears is not going to do you any good. It's got to be so submerged in your heart that it begins to take root. Okay, and it begins to grow in your heart where you see this miracle actually birthed in you from the inside to the outside. Somebody say amen. I hope you're catching what I'm talking about, but it's got to go to action. A-C-T-I-O-N, it's got to go to action. As we used to say in ball, you can't just talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. There's a lot of Christians that can talk the talk. I mean, they know Christianese left and right, in and out. They're comfortable with the pastor. They know the songs. They know the scriptures. And they know when to say amen and when to praise the Lord. They might hit the plate kind of heavy. Well, praise God for all that. But what do you do when you leave? Because it's out there. Come on, it's out there. And I want to tell you, whatever your mountain is, I want to tell you how big some people's mountain are. Somebody looks at him and frowns. And they say, oh, I better shut up. I'm being insensitive. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings here. Are you catching what I'm saying? Amen. I want to tell you, whatever the name of your mountain is, you shout grace to it. And you know what? You got to hear the words of Jesus. Hear those Jesus messages that are themed on Jesus, about Jesus, and for Jesus. I know there's some great personality preachers out there. They're amazing. They make me say wow, too. But that's not going to change your life. That might give you a Holy Ghost bump, but I want to tell you, be sure that you listen to pastors or preachers or teachers that center on Jesus and teach you about Jesus. And I want to tell you, when you leave and hear that message of Jesus, you're not going to leave with a big burden of condemnation on your life. You're not going to leave feeling like a failure. You're going to leave lighter because the light of God's coming into your life. You're going to leave freer because you're acknowledging the freedom of the Lord Jesus through His Word. So be careful what you listen to. I'm going to go back to that in just a little bit. But don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Now let's just talk about Isaac just for a second. Genesis 26, 12. How am I doing? Oh, I got plenty of time. Let's go. Genesis 26, 12. Then Isaac sowed seed in that land. Someone say barren soil. Barren soil. And he received in the same year. Somebody say same year. 100 times as much as he had planted. Does that sound like harvest to you? This was during a barren season. This was in barren soil. But I want to tell you what the key is. Would you look at the key? The Lord favored him with blessings. Now, I got to announce something to you. Because faith ends up in action. Hey, even though the Lord appeared to Isaac and rehearsed the same covenant that he'd given his father Abraham and told him, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed. Same thing I said to your daddy is true for you. This is a covenant. And I want to tell you, and he gave him direction. He said, don't go to Egypt. I want to tell you, a lot of Christians, they run to Egypt the first thing. Egypt's the world. You want to run to Egypt for the first answer. He said, I want you to stay right here. I want you to stay in this place, and I'm going to favor you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to show myself through you in this place. And it was not that was for sale or like it was on the best 10 top list, because it was during a famine. And I don't know if you've got a picture in your mind of barren soil. You know what barren soil looks like? I mean, when you see the famines that are taking place now in different parts of the world and they show pictures of the soil, you know, it's got these big ruts in it and it's got this sand in it and they say nothing will grow here. Nothing will grow here. That's what they were saying right there where Isaac was. They were saying it's impossible for anything to grow here. They said, don't plant any seed here. It's impossible. It won't happen. It won't grow. There's no life in this soil. It's barren. It's barren. It's barren. You hear that from the world. But what is God saying? See, you don't know what God's saying or what God wants to do until you spend time with Him and listen to Him and you saturate yourself in Him and you let the Holy Spirit paint that picture of victory in your heart. This is something He wants to do for you. This is not for the super spiritual, whoever they are. I don't know Him. At one time in my life, when I was doing what you know I used to do, there was a few on there that thought they were. because they were different when the lights came on. Now, there's no room for that, is it? I want to tell you, God's looking for the real. God's looking for the walk. Now, I'm telling you, just because there's fakes out there, just because people don't not real out there, that don't mean that there's not real. There is real. And your part is not to focus on them, it's to focus on Jesus. If you're letting somebody cause you to stumble, you got too much leaning on them. Don't let somebody else steal your joy and peace. Don't let them spoil your destiny. God can do what he wants to do with you in spite of them. Somebody say amen. Okay, so here we go. Isaac sowed, and it looked like barren soil. And so it took faith. You know why he did what he did? Because God said. Not because it looked like a good season. Not because it looked like good soil. I want to tell you, he took precious seed and he sowed in bad soil because God said. He sowed based on the word of God, not on the soil. And so, you see, I'm saying this because the enemy will tell people this is not the best season of your life to follow God. And, you know, that lie shows up like this, you know, with the young couple. Well, it's not a good season for us to really follow after the Lord because, you know, we got kids and bills and, you know, all kind, we're busy. And then they get to be teenagers and they say, oh, Lord, we're so busy now we can't do it. And then the teenagers leave and grandkids start showing up and they say, well, we can't now because we got grandkids. And then the grandkids get kind of grown up and then they retire and they say, well, we can't now because we're retired. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? You see, the enemy will come with a lie to try to disturb you, distract you, get you off track, because one of the worst things for his kingdom is for you to start applying the truth that you know. And I want to tell you, faith is about applying. You can have faith all, see, there's faith all along the journey. Boy, I'm going to get to that a little later. I'm trying not to get there now, but boy, you're making me hard for me not to go there right now. Okay, just don't, hey, look, there was barren soil, and he applied it by faith, not because it looked right, not because other people were saying it was a good idea, people were saying it was a bad idea. Are you going to let other people's words and works and looks keep you from obeying God? But he applied it. You know what he did? He had to put A-C-T-I-O-N in it. It had to result in some action. That's what we call depending on God, because it takes humility to follow after the Lord. I'm telling you, depend on the Lord and do what he says in spite of what man says. Follow after the Lord. And you know what? The impossible came about. Our God delights in the same possible, same year. I want to say to you, hey, in the next season. Now, I don't know what that means for you. It may mean months. It may mean years. But I want to tell you, Jesus is worth waiting on, and he says you're worth waiting on because he's completing inside of you, on the inside of you, a harvest before there's an outside harvest. He's more interested in the inside harvest first before the outside harvest, because when he does an inside harvest first, then he can trust you with the outside harvest that, you know what, you are blessed to be a blessing. And you'll be able to keep your focus on him and not on the blessings. Was that too much? Okay. So the Lord favored him. 100 times harvest, the Lord favored him. Let's take a little peek at David. You know, David, little fella, youngin, youngest boy, had the worst job. You go take care of the sheep. We got more important things to do. You the sheep boy. Get on out there with the sheep boy. And go on out there and stay with them. You live with them. That's about all you can handle. You see, I want to tell you, not everybody teaches this, but I believe that David had disrespect from the elder brothers. I think you see it in Scripture. I'm not stretching that. I think he was disrespected. I think he was belittled. Yeah. I don't think that even his dad respected him. And I think that was obvious when Samuel showed up. He showed Samuel all of his sons, and then Samuel had to ask, is there any more? He said, no. Yeah, there is. Yeah. There's a little one. Mm-hmm. You want him? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so let me tell you something. As a young boy, isolated. Yeah. Well, we hear that a lot from people. I feel so isolated. I'm lonely. I feel isolated. I want to tell you, David was isolated as a boy out in the pasture with just the sheep. But I want to tell you what he did. He took the rejection. He took the isolation. Are you listening? He took the loneliness. And you know what he did? He made that pasture out there. He made the wilderness his sanctuary to meet with God. And he got to know God. He sought after the Lord. And a lot of Bible experts will say a lot of the Psalms that they believe that he wrote, a lot of the Psalms was written when he was a boy. Out fellowshipping with Father. Getting to know God out in the beautiful sanctuary of the wilderness. So whatever your wilderness is, God's there. Hey, you're not alone. I don't care what your feelings are saying. I don't care what other people are saying. I don't care what your doctor says about it. You're not alone. If you're lonely, I want to tell you something. There's hope for you because you can enjoy His presence. And when you enjoy His presence, there's healing in His presence. And I want to tell you, not only can you be healed of isolation alone, you can enjoy your journey in the presence of the Lord. We got Cedric in our church, a truck driver. He's on the long road all the time. He's going to be at church just the next Sunday or two. But I want to tell you something I told him, and it's true for you. I said, you got to turn that cab. You got to turn that big, beautiful black truck into a rolling sanctuary where you practice the presence of God of all the hours you're driving, wherever you're going. You need to turn that into a sanctuary of His presence. I want to tell you, He's called us a living epistle for a reason. And so David was out getting to know God, enjoying the presence of God, learning of God. You know why? Because he was seeking, asking, and knocking. And the Lord loves it when we do that, and He'll reward us with Himself. And so here's David. And when it came time for his dad to send him up to check on the battle, you know, he was excited to go get a report. He got to do something different, you know. And he gets up there and finds out that, you know what, his brothers are scared. He finds out that the king is scared. He finds out that the whole mighty army of God that he probably looked up to and the heroes of the day were scared of an enemy of God. Now you see, by practicing and getting to know the ways of God as a young boy out in the wilderness with the sheep, you know, he had already seen the Lord work through him to kill a bear and kill a lion. And so when he saw the enemy of God, he said, what is this? Who does this mountain think he is? Who do you call yourself? Does that sound familiar? You're not a mountain. You're a molehill. You're not a giant. You're a tiny that I'm going to stomp on. Somebody say amen. And you know what he did? He had to give the report of the Lord. He had to testify the report of the Lord against his own family, the resistance of his own family out there in the army, against the very king of himself who said, you can't do this. And he testified of God. My God can. My God will. And I'm just here being a part of what God's doing. And you know what I love about him? Because you know what? This is what everybody else was running away. I want to tell you, the Bible's real clear. He ran toward the enemy. And so I want to tell you, with the mountains and giants that show up in your life, you know what? You can shout grace. You can shout the report of the Lord. You can declare, decree the victory of the Lord that He's put in your heart. You don't have to run from the enemy. You can run toward him because the victory's already won. But I want to tell you, David had to put it in action. He had to put it in action. You know, he ran toward the enemy. And you know what? He even prophesied and decreed what the Lord had showed him. The Lord showed him that he was going to cut off this man's head, this giant's head, and he didn't even have a sword. And so he goes out there and does what God says what God says, and decrees what God says, and kills the enemy. Great victory. You know, great victory took place. And I want to tell you, it would have never happened. Do you think Isaac would have ever received 100 times harvest if he had never sowed? What if he had just sat in his tent and said, God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me. Whenever God wants to bless me, He'll bless me. One of these ways, He'll bless me. He know. I've had people say this. He knows where I live. Huh? No, I want to tell you. I'm not saying, and see, I got to finish up here, and I ain't finished. but I'm just going to try to wrap it like this. Don't say you don't have faith, because the New Testament says you have faith. As a matter of fact, you have the faith of Christ. You have more than enough faith for whatever you face in this journey. You say, well, what's the deal? It's unbelief. It's unbelief. I want to tell you, see, it's not that you grow muscles in faith. You already got it. You know what we do? We learn how to apply it. And so there's a learning curve, there's a learning journey in applying the truth, applying faith. And the Bible calls it complete. Your faith is complete. It doesn't mean that you don't have it all to start with. You do, but you learn how to apply it completely into action where the victory is. And so there's a progressive learning of how to apply what God's already given you. And just keep in mind, there's more than enough. Where we get off track as believers is that we focus on the lack and not on the supply. We get into a problem as believers when we focus on the mountain and not on God. You got to keep Jesus in the center. I'm just going to share this real quick, and I got to stop. But it goes like this. Your mind acts like a magnifying glass. You can see a toothpick on the floor. And if you focus on that toothpick, the next thing you know, it's the size of a baseball bat. Or Jesus described it as a piece of lumber. Anybody listening? Because whatever we focus on, the mind acts like a magnifying glass. That's why it's real important in Scripture for us to center in on Jesus and us to focus on Jesus and not on the mountain. Amen. To focus on Jesus and not how big the giant is, but focus on how big Jesus is. And we're centered in. And I want to tell you, we got to turn the power on, we got to turn on, and we got to tune in, and we got to receive from the Jesus channel. And then when we receive the Jesus channel, we got to mutter it, we got to meditate on it. Let this big screen of our heart be true. Let the Lord paint that picture of what victory looks like so we can say yes to it, so we can cooperate with it, so we can know to resist anything that's not that picture. Somebody say amen. And then we speak it out. We declare it out. And I want to tell you, see, there's different situations here in this room and watching online, but I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit is the expert of showing you how to apply this to your life, to your journey in the right now. He'll show you how. And he may not show you all the steps. It may be just the next one. But I want to tell you, you got to take the next one. And when you take the next one, you see there's a lot of people even running around the country saying, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. You know what I tell them when they show up? What was the last word Jesus gave you? Oh, have you done that? No, I need a new word. You already had me when you said, God said. You go practice the last word he gave you. And you know what? He'll give you the next. You see, it's a walk, my friend. It's a journey of deliverance. It's a journey of healing. And what he wants more than anything else is for you to get hand in hand with him, heart to heart with him, and let his word ring true in your life. Where you can say what he's saying about you, and you can see what he's doing, and you can act it out. Amen. Act it out. It's got to come to action, and that's what the next sermon's about, is that if it don't show up in action, it's not complete faith. You have all the faith, but it's not complete yet. And so we progress in our journey till it comes to action. He anoints it. He does it. And that day, soon and very soon, you'll be like the people that Zechariah was talking to, where you'll be able to shout, grace! And you'll see the finish. You'll see the mountain become a molehill, and you'll stomp on it because he's put all things under our feet. Let's give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord a celebration. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you for joining us. We're going to see you next week. We're going to pick up right here and try to carry on. And hey, believe in miracles. It could be a finish next week. Amen. All right. I love you so much.